Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Dinesh D'Souza has a new film out, and also Steve Moore talks about the Trump economic miracle. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. I read all the emails and become a member today, members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or a college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. And joining us now is great American and great friend and fellow Salem host, Dinesh D'Souza, who is behind the powerhouse behind the new movie, Vindicating Trump. Dinesh, welcome to the program.
Charlie, guys, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Dinesh, tell us about your film. We can play the trailer as well, but I want to give you the opportunity first to introduce it and to lay the foundation.
Well, the film makes the case for Trump. Trump is an interesting fellow. He's different than Reagan, who would make the case for himself. If here are seven reasons to vote for me. With Trump, he puts himself on exhibit, but he doesn't lay out the argument. And that's what this film does. And there's an accompanying book of the same title. The centerpiece of the film is a one-on-one with Trump. And what I try to do in that, Charlie, is I try to bring out the private dimension of Trump that I think he has a manly resistance to showing on the public stage, to show the tumblers of his mind working, to show, in a sense, some of the ways that he feels about things. So all of this is in the film, along with my staple, cinematic recreations. I, of course, tell the story of Trump. I try to get to the bottom of why the left is so terrified of this man and this man alone.
Yeah, and Dinesh, before I play the trailer, you've done so many films that have been successful, especially in election years. As you have studied Donald Trump as a person and as a leader, what do you think that even his supporters don't quite grasp about him?
I think the thing about Trump that is maybe the most striking is that he has the dimensions of a Caesar. This is really why the left accuses him of being a Caesar, of being a dictator, of wanting to subvert our system. On the one hand, we know that that's unfair because Trump was in office. He didn't do anything dictatorial. Even when the crowd shouted, lock her up, he didn't in fact prosecute her. He didn't actually lock her up. So the charge of dictatorship is false, but and this is a point I make to Trump in my conversation with him, is I say, listen, they keep saying that you called for an insurrection. And I say, as far as I can see, you didn't do that. You didn't tell people to go in the Capitol, take over the place, stop the count, none of that. But I said, you could have. Had you called for an insurrection on January 6th, there would have been one. And there would be one if you called for one now. So you, as far as I can see, are the only person in America who has that kind of power. I mean, no Republican, certainly not even Kamala Harris, could call for an insurrection. Nobody would show up. Nobody would even take it seriously. So Trump has this larger than life dimension. This is why I think the left is so threatened by him.
Let's play the trailer here. 71, please.
Somebody has to help this country. And if they don't, the country and the world are in big trouble.
Someone's got to overturn the tables in the temple.
Trump jumping into the presidential race.
She's a bit worried.
Of the apprentice guy?
You know the feeling of power. Could you handle it or would it devour?
Power. They fear that power. You didn't do an insurrection. Had you called for one, there would have been one.
And there would be one if you called for one now.
I'm not sure I want that power. I want the power just to make the country better.
America first!
And that scares them.
A lot about Donald Trump scares them.
Let's look at everything. Campaign, his family. Let's get foreign eyes on him.
We have one target. You know who he is.
Going after their companies, their families. That is a dictator.
It's a very dangerous time for our country.
The goal is to put him in jail because they're so afraid of his voice.
I am your voice.
They bury him so deep in legal, it'll bankrupt them.
Bro, got him in jail right before the election.
That's sorry for being that guy, but isn't that election interference?
It's not interference if we do it.
We just want a free and fair election.
Sounds expensive.
Ballots ain't cheap.
Wait. Did you actually say the word buy the ballots?
We were able to purchase 10,000 ballots.
That's terrifying.
They cheat in many different ways. That's all they're good at.
Ready to save democracy?
We need to stop him permanently.
And that person will be risking his life.
Too bad it's not the 60s, right?
It's the way you survived.
I said, get me up.
Trump has beaten back every attack against him.
It's like the damn Terminator.
We're going to fix our borders, and we're going to fix our elections. We're going to win.
This is my legacy.
Vindicating Trump.
The best is yet to come.
Dinesh, very powerful trailer there. And so, first, can you just read me into that conversation? Who was talking about buying ballots, and you got 10,000 ballots? What was that all about?
Charlie, as you know, in 2000 Mules, we were looking back at what happened in 2020. And we released that film in the middle of 2022, and you were part of it, and you were in it. I start with the premise that the Democrats can't cheat the same way again and again, in part because people know about it. They're going to be looking for it. And so I put myself in the mind of the criminals, and I said, what is the biggest vulnerability in our election system now? What is a new way to cheat that people don't even know about? We hired a couple of investigators, and they came to me and said, we know how to make ballots. And I go, you are joking, right? And they're like, no, we know how to get ballot stock. We know how to print the ballots. We can make ballots that will fit in the tabulator machines and be counted. And I said, listen, don't tell me about it. You do it. Show me that you can obtain the ballot paper. Show me that you can put the information on the ballot, create a legitimate ballot. Show me that you can, where you're going to get the names to put it on there and the signatures to scrawl. So all of this is laid out in a section of the film called The Ballot Makers. It's maybe the most shocking aspect of this new film, Vindicating Trump.
Is there anything being done to prevent ballot making and manufacturing from happening in this election?
So I took the information straight to Trump. I took it straight to Laura Trump. They were both kind of blown away, and they both basically said, okay, we're going to be on top of this. We've got lots of people to look at it. This is a priority for us. So essentially what I've done is I've done what a film can do. I expose something. I do a handoff to the kind of people who can now do something about it. And it's going to be their job to make sure that, I mean, my goal, of course, in exposing this is not to educate cheaters or to show them how to do it. It's to blow their cover so that they can't do it that way. They can't pull off the heist.
So in making this film, you also sat down with President Trump. I want to play cut 72 here, which is a little bit of a snippet of your conversation with him. Play cut 72.
We were all about democracy, and that's what we're about. And, you know, their theme is, oh, Trump will subvert democracy, but they're the ones that are going to subvert democracy. And that's what they're doing all the time.
I mean, did you do censorship? No. Did you lock up any leading Democrats? No. I mean, there were people chanting for Hillary to be locked up, but you didn't lock her up.
Let's defeat her in November.
Well, with Hillary as an example, I thought it would be a terrible thing, actually. What she did was terrible. What Biden did was terrible. What they all did. But I never would even think of doing that. I could have done it, and we had them dead to right, but wouldn't it be a terrible thing? And yet now what they've done is they've opened up a box, a Pandora's box, that is a very dangerous thing.
Vindicating Trump. Only in theaters September 27th.
Tell us more about that conversation, Dinesh.
I think the conversation gets to the heart of how you stop a bully from being a bully. The left has been doing this, and I think they've been doing it because their aggression is encouraged by our passivity. If we, And there are many Republicans, as you know, who say things like, oh, well, we can't do what they're doing. We can't pack the court and we can't use the government to go after our political opponents. And so the left goes, wonderful. We will try to pack the court in the full knowledge that when the other guys come in, they love the number nine. So even if we fail, we have no penalty and we can keep trying to do it. So the question I was raising with Trump is in a sense, if the dictatorial threat is coming from their side, isn't it true that the only way to stop it is to do to them or to threaten to do to them what they have been doing to us? That will be the best deterrent. And that's really the context for that part of the conversation.
It is called Vindicating Trump. Are you ready to lose weight but not sure where to start? I understand. I was right where you are 2 years ago. Let me tell you why I chose the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Program. First, Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition. There is so much more. They know that 90% of permanent change comes from the mind, and they work on eliminating the reason you gained this weight in the first place. There's no shortcuts, pills, or injections, just solid, science-based nutrition and behavior change. And finally, probably most importantly, I lost 30 pounds. Look, they're amazing. If you want to lose weight, you got to go to myphdweightloss.com. I was just texting with Dr. Ashley Lucas today. If you're ready to lose weight for the last time, call 864-644-1900. Go online at myphdweightloss.com. Do what I did and what hundreds of my listeners have done and call today, 864-644-1900. I recommend their program. Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition, but it's so much more. Go to myphdweightloss.com, myphdweightloss.com. Call 864-644-1900. I lost over 30 pounds. Dr. Ashley Lucas, great American. Check it out, myphdweightloss.com. You mentioned this previously, Dinesh, though, but looking at Donald Trump's life and his impact, where would Donald Trump fall in historical figures? Have we seen anything like it in American history?
He is, as far as I can see, absolutely unique. And even his reaction to the two assassination attempts, the level of bravery, it's difficult for me to think of anybody alive, but even anybody historically who would respond in quite that way. And I think a good way to sort of understand Trump today is kind of in terms of the old movie westerns. You know, before I came to America, Charlie, I was mainly exposed to America through films and mainly war movies and westerns. And if you think about the plot of a western movie, it's kind of what we're living through now. You got a town and it's going pretty peacefully. It's called, you know, Shinbone or Pleasantville. And there's an old sheriff with a toothbrush mustache and an old rifle. You know, that's like the GOP establishment. But then some ruthless gangsters come in and they shoot up the town. They take it over. They take over the saloon. They take over the provision store. They intimidate everybody. And then the movie takes off when over the mountains comes an outsider, a stranger. Not much is known about him. He seems a little dubious. But nevertheless, the gangsters know right away that he is the one guy that they have to watch out for. He's the one guy who could take him down. And so the plot of the film is there's a showdown. They try to intimidate him, to run him out of town, to beat him up, to shoot him and kill him. And I think this is, in a way, Trump. Trump is the outsider. And even the people of the town are a little ambivalent about him. And that's why today we'll have Republicans who say, well, why can't we go back to the old way of doing things? Shinbone used to be great. They don't realize that Shinbone isn't Shinbone anymore. We're not living in the same country that Reagan gave us at the end of his two terms in office. And so we have to deal with this new threat. And as far as I can see, there's no other Republican really who is up to it. Any other Republican facing two criminal charges, let alone 91, would have exited the race, fled the field. Trump, in that sense, is, as they say, sui generis. He's in a league of his own.
Truly. And so in making this film, what did you learn, Dinesh, about Trump and about his life that you did not know prior to starting the film?
I think it was not so much what I didn't know, but rather this. I really met Trump in 2019, the year after I got my presidential pardon. He didn't know me before. I'd spoken to him once on the phone. But when I saw him in the Oval Office with my family, we saw a kind of dimension of Trump And my wife and I said to each other, we never see that in the public arena. Trump has a kind of manly aversion to like showing his feelings and showing vulnerability. But I said, if that part of Trump could be more seen by people, it would round out the picture and it would also endear people to him a lot more. And so my goal in this conversation with Trump was not to let Trump be kind of the runaway train that he sometimes is. But rather to sort of control the trajectory of the conversation so that I could show the American people that private dimension of Trump that I had seen, but I don't think that he shields a little bit from public view.
So Dinesh, studying Trump and putting this in the film, what does he need to do in this final sprint as we are, what, 34 days out from the end of voting? 35 days out to win and defeat Kamala Harris.
I think the case that Trump and our side needs to make is that Trump doesn't need to be rehabilitated or remade. All the people who say, well, I don't like Trump, but I like his policies, or they say, you know, he needs to shut his mouth. Nesh, please tell him to stop, you know, posting on social media like that. The point I want to make is that this guy is actually ideally suited for the crisis that we face in the country and in the world now. He's a little bit like General Grant in the middle of the Civil War. You know, it makes no sense to say, well, the guy drinks too much. He cusses a lot. Those qualities are part of what made Grant an indomitable fighter on the battlefield. And so the point is that we are living at a time when the supreme political virtue is courage. Aristotle says it's the greatest of all the virtues, in part because it enables all the others. It gives you the strength to do all the other virtues. And Trump has that in a measure that is beyond anybody else I can think of.
It is Vindicating Trump. Dinesh, how do people see it and support this important film?
The website is vindicatingtrump.com. If you type in your city or town, the theaters will pop right up. It's in theaters right now, and there's a book of the same title coming out in a week. You can pre-order that on the website also, vindicatingtrump.com.
Thank you so much, Dinesh. God bless. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
From the creators of Jesus Revolution comes a new film that's bound to touch your heart, White Bird, A Wonder Story. Discover the moving tale of Julian as he uncovers his grandmother's incredible journey to escape Nazi-occupied France during World War II. Based on the beloved book by the best-selling author of Wonder, this inspiring film demonstrates how one simple act of kindness can create ripples that last a lifetime. Directed by the visionary behind Finding Neverland and featuring stellar performances by Gillian Anderson and Academy Award winner Helen Mirren, White Bird promises to be a cinematic experience you won't forget. Catch it in theaters starting October 4th. For tickets and more details, visit whitebird.movie. What is the latest out of Iran right now?
So it's looking like they did launch their barrage of missiles. They've landed. Now Iran is releasing statements that does imply it's over. And they're saying that any, you know, further terrorist attacks by the Zionist regime will be met with a crushing response. So it's looking like from their perspective, they think like, oh, we hit you back. It's your move next. Now
more were killed in the shooting, I think, than the missiles.
Probably. It doesn't seem. I mean, we may see more come out. Some of them appear to have landed in Palestinian areas. It may turn out that today was still safer in Tel Aviv than like your typical afternoon in St. Louis. We'll see. And but for now, it's at least a pause. But especially with that shooting in Yaffa, I don't want to jump to any conclusions because things can move very fast in a situation like this.
So help me understand if Israel responds, what might that look like?
Oh, there's a lot of possible responses. It seems like they were planning to possibly escalate the war with Hezbollah already, so they could move that up. In terms of direct response, they could launch airstrikes on Iran. That would be
That'd be
a serious escalation. They could go after military facilities. They could go after nuclear facilities. That's pretty scary because the range of potential attacks is pretty high. I mean, You can definitely find some nutballs who would like want to lob a nuclear weapon at them. I think that would be very bad if they did that. And that's what's frightening about this, is the range of potential responses is high and people are amped up, which means more extreme actions are possible. You can find people on the internet who are calling for basically Israel to do whatever it wants, and whatever it wants can be a pretty extreme thing.
Yeah, so the Hezbollah proxy, how serious is the Hezbollah military that we know of?
So the number of fighters they have, I've seen estimates of about 15,000 to 20,000. So that's decently high for a non-state military in the region. They're also more experienced. They fought in the Syrian civil war on the side of Assad. So there's a lot of guys in Hezbollah who have actually fought in a war before in Syria. And so, and also there's probably some guys still around who are veterans. Israel did an incursion 18 years ago into southern Lebanon, which actually did not go that great for them. They wanted to do a lot more damage to Hezbollah than they did. So this is, it's a lot more significant than just, you know, doing an incursion into Gaza. And even the Gaza incursion had a lot of issues for Israel. So it would not be an easy walkover. I mean, I don't think they're going to lose. It's not like they would lose and get invaded by Hezbollah or anything like that. But there's a lot of potential that they could lose more soldiers than they expect and not do as much damage to Hezbollah as they hope.
Joining us now is Stephen Moore, author of The Trump Economic Miracle. Stephen, welcome back to the program. Tell us about your new book, The Trump Economic Miracle.
Hi, Charlie. Thanks for having me on. Well, this was a book that we've been working on for the last 2 years. This was written by Arthur Laffer, the most famous economist in the world, and myself. And it really, what it does is it sets out to show what happened under Trump, and we believe it was an economic miracle. And by the way, Charlie, guess who came up with this title of the book?
Trump.
He did. Yes, kind of a funny story behind it. We went to see him about a couple months ago, and we said we had this new book coming out, and he was very enthusiastic about it. And he said, well, what's the name of it? We said, we're going to call it Trumponomics 2.0. He said, no, I don't like that. Call it the Trump Economic Miracle. So that's how we came up with the title. By the way, he wrote the foreword to the book, which was really sweet of him. And it really, this is important for people who, if you're for Trump, you should read it. And if you know people who are not for Trump but are undecided, have them get this book. Because what we do in the book, Charlie, is just lay out with the facts, the official government statistics, what happened to the economy when Trump was president. And it was an economic miracle. We had the best economy ever before COVID. And what has happened since Biden and Kamala Harris came in. And I think we look at 20 major statistics, things like what happened to people's real incomes, middle-class people, what happened to the price of gasoline, what happened to the price of eggs and groceries, what happened to mortgage interest rates, what happened to small business conditions, what happened to consumer confidence. I could go on and on, the stock market. On 20 of the 22 major statistics and measurements, Trump is superior to Biden in many cases by a mile. So anybody who's voting on the basis of the economy and the pocketbook issues, this book really lays out a very strong case for Trump.
So Steve, I'm so glad that you're on today, because yesterday I was at the University of Montana, and sometimes we'll get economic students that will come up to the mic. I do an open mic type format, Steve, and they'll say, hey, but Charlie, the economy is actually really good. Stock market is record high right now under Biden, Harris. The employment numbers are really good. And all these economists say that Trump will wreck the economy. Please walk through in methodical detail, Steve. We have a couple minutes here. What Donald Trump accomplished when he was president? What do the irrefutable metrics and numbers show?
Well, first of all, I had a very similar experience. I was at SMU University in Dallas. I don't know if you've been to that school.
Yes, of course.
Charlie, all over the country. And I was surprised, you know, most of the students, it was a kind of debate Biden versus Trump. And I'd have to say, even at SMU, which is Texas, most of the students were, and actually there were some older people there who were actually for Biden. A lot of them were. And I said, look, it's very simple. If you're voting on, you know, whether you like Donald Trump or not or something, I can't convince you otherwise. But if you're voting on the money in your wallet, the pocketbook issues, there's no comparison. I mean, Trump had a huge, huge, even the stock market. It is true the stock market is up. But remember, Charlie, you have to adjust these things for inflation. So inflation is up by 21%. And when you adjust these things for inflation, we had a far superior stock market under Trump than Biden. Now, is the economy getting a little better? It is. It is. But people are still way underwater on their incomes. You know, I always say this election is going to come down to the three I issues. And I think you know what those are, Charlie. The three I's are immigration, which obviously they get an F grade on immigration, right? real incomes for middle income families, that's the second high incomes, those are down by $1,000 under Biden and up by $5,000 under Trump. And the third is inflation. And that one's a no brainer, right? We had almost no inflation under Trump, and Biden has risen the price of everything by 25-30% when you look at the necessity. So, by the way, every poll shows that most Americans think the economy is headed in the wrong direction, and I think the country's headed in the wrong direction. And you know why? Because it is.
No, and Steve, I think that is actually the best argument. Instead of getting into the weeds about cherry-picked macroeconomic data, and Blake and I, we talk about this a lot, 70% of the country thinks the economy is crummy.
Yeah.
So something is amiss.
They can just intuitively sense a lot of things are off.
And so, Steve, in your book,
Can I just correct you?
Please.
You said people intuitively, but I think that's not even the right word. They get it. They go to the grocery store. They see it every day. You can't spin this, Charlie. You can't spin the economy to people. They know what they're feeling. They know whether they can pay their bills. In my family, I don't pay my bills. My wife pays the bills. And she gets so angry at me. You know, she goes, Steve, you have no idea how much things cost. I said, you paid $400 this week for groceries? She said, yeah, that was our grocery bill. Look at our utility bill. So people are financially stressed out.
That's exactly right. And so let's go through then what Donald Trump was able to accomplish. Why was he able to pull off this economic miracle? What did he do, Steve, that unleashed the greatest American economy of our lifetime?
Well, I think the very short answer to that question, Charlie, is there's a very, very clear difference in these two candidates. Donald Trump, whether you love him or hate him, and I have great admiration for Trump, but I don't agree with him on everything, but I agree with him on most things. Donald Trump is a businessman. He's a success. He knows how to make money. He knows how to hire people. He knows how to make a payroll. Kamala, I guess she's claiming she worked 1 year for McDonald's. I don't know if that's been verified yet, but we don't even know if that's true. But let's give her the benefit of the doubt. She has 1 year of experience working for a business, and the rest of her life she's been in government. So why would anybody think someone who spent their whole life in government would have a superior record on the economy than someone who actually knows how the economy works? I mean, Kamala Harris has no idea how businesses work, how to meet a payroll, how to make a profit. I mean, she talks about these greedy, profitable companies. Well, Kamala, why don't you go out and start a company and see if you can be profitable? Then you can complain.
Yeah, I think that's, by the way, the McDonald's thing, I think it's a fraud, right, Blake? The McDonald's thing, it's stolen valor.
It seems so. I feel like they'd be able to prove it
by the way,
this point.
Who lies? As somebody said, somebody has to have a really, really unimpressive career if they have to boast about 1 year of
experience. It's the only job she ever got without like nepotism.
That's right. So let's play cut 75 here, please.
The 4 years he was in office, we were doing good, absolutely good. Kamala, she's already in office and ain't done. And there was more work too. So we were able to afford things.
So that was a Latina voter, Steve, in Nevada. 30 seconds. Is that consistent with what you're hearing on the ground, people that remember the Trump economy better?
Yeah, it is. It pretty much is. And there's some people who don't want to remember. They don't want to believe, and look, we're a 50-50 nation right now in terms of, red state, blue state, and red state voters and blue state. But when most Americans, even the Biden voters will admit to me, I don't know if they ever do that with you, Charlie. They'll admit, okay, Trump was better on the economy, but maybe they don't like his position on abortion or they don't like this or that about him. But again, I think it's going to come down to those pocketbook issues.
There's a condescension that is built into part of the Democrats where they're like, oh, you guys have memory issues. It actually wasn't good when Trump was president. It's a big part of their...
Yeah, just like their misinformation, misleading voters on the economy they live through.
Chris Coons said that. Let's try to find that tape. Chris Coons basically was like, we have a memory issue problem in our country. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. What an unbelievable start to 2024. We had last month saving babies with preborn by providing ultrasounds. And we're doing again this year what we did last year. We're going to stand for life because remaining silent in the face of the most radically pro-death administration is not an option. As Sir Edmund Burke said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing, and we're not going to do nothing. Your gift to preborn will give a girl the truth about what's happening in her body so that she can make the right choice. $280 can save 10 babies. $28 a month can save a baby a month all year long. And a $15,000 gift will provide a complete ultrasound machine that will save thousands of babies for years and years to come. And will also save moms from a lifetime of pain and regret. Call 833-850-2229. That's 833-850-2229. Or click on the preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That is charliekirk.com and click on the preborn banner. Also save moms from a lifetime of pain and regret. I'm a donor to this organization. They're terrific. Go to charliekirk.com, click on the preborn banner. Steve, it looks as if everyone has memory problems. Play cut 76.
You're right, Joe. It is narrowing. The gap between Harris and Trump on who do you believe will chart a better economic future for us has narrowed quite a bit, by half. Part of it is that Americans, when you ask the question, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago, many Americans misremember just how bad the economy was 4 years ago and how strong our economic recovery from the pandemic has been.
Steve, it's people are stupid, is what he says.
Well, look, this is the part of the history that people, that the Democrats are making up. And Kamala Harris says this all the time as well, that we took over, you heard her say, oh, that we took over and the whole economy was a mess and it was a disaster. No, it wasn't. In fact, you know, the last 6 months of the Trump presidency, we were coming out of COVID like a rocket ship. Remember that? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was very strong. And the American people made a big mistake, you know, in the election. And if it, by the way, if it had not been for COVID, Trump, as you know, Carly, Trump would have won, what, do you think 40 states, maybe 42 states?
He would have done
Yeah, it would have been a Reagan-style landslide. And so COVID disrupted everything. That's why a lot of people think maybe this wasn't just an accident. It happened when it happened. But look, the economy was recovering. We had 1.5% inflation when Trump left office. And then 18 months later, we have a 9.1% inflation bomb that hits the economy. And it affects every one of us every day. And I'm telling you, if we elect Kamala Harris, we're going to see even higher inflation than that in a second term, because all she wants to do is spend, tax, borrow, grow government. And it will be, quite a disaster for our country, which is why I feel pretty confident that Trump will win. But I don't want people to be overly confident. You know, this thing might come down to the wire. I was in New Jersey this weekend for a wedding. And turned on the football game and watched about a couple hours of TV. All I saw was Kamala Harris ads. One after, where do they get all the money, Charlie? It's unbelievable.
Well, they get it from very well-financed left-wing billionaires from California, New York, and Act Blue. Yeah. I'll tell you, Act Blue is a very formidable thing. I don't know what's behind it. They are hundreds of millions of dollars that are pumping into Democrat campaigns. Steve, we are being outspent. Yeah. In every major race across the country, except like the West Virginia Senate race, we are being outspent. And that never used to be the case. Remember, Steve, you know, used to say, oh, Republicans have more money. Democrats are outspending us by 3, 4, 5 times now. It's remarkable.
And I do think, by the way, and I don't have proof for this, this is just an allegation, but Charlie, I really do believe a lot of money is coming from overseas.
I think it's coming
from Russia. I think it's coming from Iran. I think it's coming from Europe, because none of the foreign leaders Kamala's right. They don't want Trump to be president because he's going to drive a hard bargain with them. Kamala's just going to pass out money to these people. Of course, they're going to love Santa Claus.
That is exactly, Steve, I totally agree. And there's a lot of suspicion around this Act Blue thing. Because they are funneling this money in, and it's, people understand, this is not super PAC money. This is hard money. So this is money that you can spend to get lower cost advertisement, and so campaigns get ads for a lower cost per advertisement than a super PAC. A super PAC has to pay almost 3 or 4 times more. Campaigns actually, by law, get a lower placement cost. So Harris campaign, they have far more money than Trump. In closing here, Steve, 1 minute remaining. What does Trump need to do if he wins right out of the gate to prevent a looming recession?
He's got to do the drill, baby, drill. He's got to have about 200 executive orders on his desk. And he said he will do this, ready to sign, basically reversing all of the crazy regulations that we put on our businesses. But I do think there's just going to be a burst of confidence, don't you, Charlie? Mm-hmm. If he wins, or I should say when he wins, it's going to be like taking a champagne bottle and shaking it up and taking the cork out. This American economy is ready to explode. We just need someone who's pro-business. But you can, you know, my closing point would be, First of all, get the book. It's called The Trump Economic Miracle. But second of all, you know, a $5 trillion tax increase, you got to have your head examined if you think a $5 trillion tax increase is going to grow the American economy. That's absurd.
Well said. Steve Moore, great work. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.